You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday at that. Gang's here, ready to go. Phone calls are welcome. Emails, tweets. Say good morning to our radio partners. We're closing in on 400 cities around America. Got a new affiliate, Fox Sports Radio 103.5 FM, 1510 AM. The Game in Spokane, Washington, home of the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Welcome. Peacock, you can watch all 3 hours for free. Just download the app if you haven't. And we say hello to Chat Row as well. Got a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. Phone number 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. Welcome back, NCAA tournament. Good to have you back. Full day of hoops coming up. And we get to try to figure out where True TV is on our dial. That's always the big mission. That's the big challenge on the first night of the basketball tournament. True TV. Is it near TNT and TBS? And I was flipping through and I go, oh, okay, there it is. I finally found it. It's a yearly tradition in my household. True TV. Most of us are living and dying with every game, and the bracket contests aren't won or lost on day one, although we react that way. If Gonzaga goes down on Saturday night, well, we got a problem with our brackets. But for the most part, the winners will be determined in a couple of weeks. So for now, you just enjoy the tournament. But you start to look at these games, like the 8-9 games, and we agonize over that. Oh, my God, I don't know. I don't know if I can. A 12 seed is going to beat a 5 seed, right? That doesn't mean they're going to the Final Four. But the first day, all about bragging rights. If Ohio U beats Virginia or Eastern Washington knocks off Kansas, then you get to say, I called it. Okay. That gives you bragging rights for an hour or so. But, you know, as for most of us, you just sit back. It's a long ride here. You know, enjoy day one, brag away, but check back in a couple of weeks when we'll see where you're really at. All great games last night. You had UCLA and Michigan State. That was entertaining. Drake and Wichita State. That was entertaining. Down to the last couple of seconds there. We're ready to go. Mount St. Mary's, Texas Southern. You know, you just buckle up, strap in, get your Hans device on, and let's go. Turn four could get a little loose here. Yes, McLovin.
I think I'm going to be popular in Spokane. I have Gonzaga in my Final Four.
Wow, that's crazy.
Gutsy.
Yeah. You, the back row, man, you guys love you some chalk.
I was not ashamed to have Gonzaga beating Baylor in the national title
game. Yeah, I figured you'd go. You are Mr. Obvious, Captain Obvious. Yes, Paulie.
Didn't we have John Stockton on a few years ago? And he, you know, he's obviously a legend there. He owns a bar there that's popular. You remember, he said, you got to come out to my bar, have some wings. Now we have an excuse to go out to John Stockton's bar.
Hmm.
Here it is. Jack and Dan's, coincidentally.
That's his parents.
Parents' bar.
Yeah. Do they still own that?
For the purposes of this conversation,
okay.
Sure.
Okay. Sign up for the newsletter, danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out. In the bottom right corner, we'll keep you up to date. Hopefully there's no typos, some factual errors in the newsletter. It's really well done. And it kind of sums up everything that we do on the show that day. This program brought to you by Built Bar. 16 grams of protein, low-cal, low-carb, but it tastes great. Tastes like a candy bar. You can go to BuiltBar.com, promo code DP20, 20% off your first order. We'll talk about the basketball tournament. We'll check in with Peter King. All of the network deals are done. The NFL is under lock and key for the next 11 years, although the NFL can opt out after 7 years, but we don't need to worry about that. And we'll talk to Peter King about that. We'll also talk to Peter about what's going on with Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Now, I said this yesterday. I will repeat this every time I do talk about this. This isn't court TV. I'm not here to litigate. I'm not here to talk about salacious details with Deshaun Watson. I am looking at the football side of this story, the sports side, the fallout of this story. But in less than 2 days, the number of claims against Deshaun Watson have grown exponentially. It started with one. Now, the attorney, Tony Busby, claims that he has 9 clients who have assault claims against Deshaun Watson. I'm not going to talk about the details. He said, she said, it's more about what does the NFL do? The NFL has informed the Houston Texans they're investigating. That is really big because once they get in, this could take weeks. It could take months. It's not that, and this is what I found out many, many years ago. It's not like when you have a high profile case, it goes to the top of their list. You know, they're looking at every case as it comes across the commissioner's desk. And that doesn't mean Deshaun Watson, because Deshaun Watson might be traded or not be traded, that he moves to the top of that list. But we'll talk to Peter King about this. Can they trade him? Will they trade him? Are they more likely to trade him? If you were going to trade for him, can you take that public relations hit not knowing what's going to happen to Deshaun Watson? Imagine you bring him in today's culture, and that is the face of your franchise. Do you take the PR hit? You don't even know what's going to happen. Could he end up on the commissioner's exempt list? Could he be suspended? Could this all go away? It feels like Deshaun Watson's in limbo. The Texans are in limbo. And anybody who's thinking about trading for him, in limbo as well. So Peter will join us coming up. Sean Salisbury, who does morning sports talk show host in Houston on 790. He will join us coming up as well. The legendary broadcaster Jim Brockmeyer will stop by in the final hour of the show. Jim filled out a bracket. By the way, great guest list of everybody in the Celebrity Bracket Challenge, and should be a whole lot of fun. The Colts introduced Carson Wentz yesterday. That got a little bit of attention. You know, it was a very controlled environment because the Colts didn't want the Philadelphia Eagle reporters to be able to ask questions to Carson Wentz. I know you don't want Philadelphia to hijack this press conference because these Eagle reporters probably still want answers to Carson Wentz. What happened? What didn't happen? Why did it go wrong? If I'm Philadelphia, move on. But that's not the way Philadelphia is approaching this. So they weren't allowed to ask questions, and it was a controlled environment. Carson Wentz had this to say about his time in Philadelphia.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It wasn't fun. You know, it's not fun when, you know, things were going so well for years and, you know, all those things. And obviously the Super Bowl and all those things that happened, you know, and not being out there on the field, having injuries, a lot of things that just – you don't know why things happened or why they went the way they did. And, you know, as a man, you have to look yourself in the mirror and, you know, learn from it.
Carson Wentz then talked about why he's excited to join the Colts.
Working with Frank first and foremost and what he's been able to do here and what has the culture that had already been established here over the years, you know, gets me excited. Obviously the O-line, the skill players, all of that, what they were able to do last year and, you know, be right on the verge of something special, you know, how close they came to come in and, you know, try and be a part of that.
Okay. So Carson Wentz goes in there. It's a little bit more of a comfort zone for him, reunited with Frank Reich, who was offensive coordinator with Philadelphia, now the head coach of the Colts. They got a good team, got a good offensive line, and hopefully he gets into a good headspace here and is able to kind of recapture what he had in 2017. I think he will. I think getting out of Philadelphia, now, these quarterbacks, their egos, you know, the sensitivity to criticism, some can kind of filter it out. Some let it kind of consume them. And I think Carson Wentz got caught up in something and he had no way to get out. He was in his own head. Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl. You were going to be the MVP that year. Nick Foles comes in. Then all of a sudden they draft Jalen Hurts. And then it started to go down, and it continued to go down the rabbit hole. Now he gets a chance, fresh start. We see this with quarterbacks. It's a reboot, and this is your reboot with Carson Wentz. Yes, McLevin.
Permission to speak as an Eagles fan. It felt like he had the yips a little bit last year. Like he missed throws that we'd seen him make a million times, and he would throw it 2 feet high or something. I don't know why.
Well, he had a terrible offensive line.
But even when he had time, it felt like he was seeing ghosts or something. Like he was still acting as if there was a guy about to hit him.
Well, he's probably, you know, you're used to that. Like your condition. You know, that I'm used to getting hit or there's pressure, there's somebody right there with me. I'm not going to make excuses for Carson Wentz. But Carson Wentz shouldn't be making excuses either. You own it. Now you move on. And now let's see who you are. You're in a better situation with a coach you like. A coach who likes you. It was probably a pretty difficult situation for him in Philadelphia, that you got the Nick Foles statue. Every time you go to work, there's Nick Foles statue there. You got Jalen Hurts right behind you. All right, you don't have that in Indianapolis, so let's see what you can do. But this is your chance for a reboot. Yeah, Paul?
I've never lived in either city, but I've spent time in both cities. Can you think of any two cities from a sports fan image that are more drastically different than Philadelphia and Indianapolis?
Yeah.
It just feels like Indianapolis, they're so happy to have that team. They waited for years to get an NFL team. Very supportive. And Philly, you could fill in the blank. You've been to Philly.
It goes back to Tino Martinez, who played for the Yankees, played for a long time. And I went to a game in St. Louis and went out to dinner with Tino Martinez afterwards. And I said, you know, what's the difference between St. Louis and New York? And he said, in New York, they let you know how they really feel about you. If you're not playing well, they let you know. If you're playing well, they let you know. In St. Louis, they root for you. No matter how bad you're playing, they root for you. He goes, I could be 0 for 10 and the crowd will go, so you'll get him next time. You'll get him next time, Tino. Let's go, Tino. That's what St. Louis is. That's the difference, that they love their baseball. They love their players. The Yankees, they look at them as, all right, what have you done for me lately here? And Tino said that was the big difference between the two. And I said, well, what did you prefer? He goes, the Yankee fan, because he's honest with you. And I said, okay. He goes, I don't need the, it's nice to have positive reinforcement, but there are times when you go, no, I suck. You know, you should be yelling at me. Yeah, McLovin.
The Cardinals are definitely the opposite of the Phillies, but Indianapolis is nice about football, but they're not that nice about basketball. I saw they tried to run Gene Hackman out of town in Hoosiers. They're pretty intense.
Yeah, Norman Dale, he almost lost his job.
They fired Archie Miller out of nowhere. I feel like that basketball is a different set of standards in Indianapolis.
I don't know if that was out of nowhere. He was there 4 years.
Oh, he did he really have a chance? That was pretty quick.
All they're asking is get to the damn tournament.
When it's on our home court.
How about you have a home court advantage in Indiana this year? Imagine if you were the Hoosiers and you were any good. You know, you'd have a decided advantage there, you would think.
But it is true, by the way. Philly fans are not going to forget. They're going to root against Carson Wentz just as hard as they root for the team.
Yes. What kind of poll question do we have today?
Well, we all filled out brackets. Do you feel it's more likely you will become in first place or last place? Be honest about where you feel right now.
First place.
Get out of here. You always come in negative after you fill out a bracket.
Yes, I am usually negative. But this year, positivity. Yeah. Positivity. I think I'm going to do okay. All I really care about is I finish higher than you guys. Like, that's really what it comes down to. I don't care about beating any other celebrities except for Bryan Cranston. Because Bryan Cranston's talking a whole lot of junk. And I may go Walter White on him.
Say my name?
Yes. I am the danger. Yes,
McLovin. I don't like this whole setup. Now everybody's going to be looking at where we all land compared to all these famous people. It's going to be more embarrassing than ever this year.
Does anybody have a wild pick for the Final Four that the audience might care about? Anybody have a strange pick that they'd go, wow? It feels like there's about 8 to 10 teams that could make the Final Four. Yeah, Pauline.
Mine's not wild from a seeding standpoint, but to pick a football school for the Final Four, I have Alabama in the Final Four.
Okay.
Based off nothing, haven't seen them play this year.
All right.
But it's weird to put, at least to say, I admit it.
Yeah.
But putting a football school in the Final Four, it took a little work for me.
Okay.
Bama, Roll Tide.
I will say Alabama's a lot of fun to watch, but that doesn't mean that they won't bow out their first game.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, McLovin.
You know, I have Alabama too, but I regret it. After Juwan Howard came on the show and said he's going to kill it, that interview, I'd already had it in my bracket, but I like Michigan now. He was very compelling. I'd go play for him in a second too, by the way.
All right.
But I have Bama as well.
Did anybody have Michigan State going far because of Tom Izzo?
Oh, Sweet 16, baby.
Now, do you get UCLA as far as UCLA goes?
Go Bruins, yes, because I filled it out before the game. It's like a combo platter.
Okay.
So they play BYU next, mm-hmm. and then after that, I had Michigan State beating Texas.
Yeah. Let's not go round by round. I know Fritzy didn't do anything crazy.
My son, very disappointed in me. I sent him a copy of my bracket, and he's like, really? Well, 4-1 seeds? Yeah. You're bottom 4? Why?
Because that's who you are.
An overdose of chalk over here.
You are the most overly cautious individual I know.
You would think this is the time to do something fun and wacky and get a 8 team in there or a 6 or something.
But you never do that.
You didn't.
No. Seton?
3 1s and a 2.
Okay.
Nothing great there.
Wild man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really going out on
but,
a limb.
But if you don't know about college basketball or you didn't follow it, then I understand why you would go with the number 1 seeds.
I have 9 upsets in the first round.
Mm.
But then after that, it's kind of...
But that goes back to what I said to start the show. That's about bragging rights, where you go, I had that one. You know, the 5-12, you know, I had that one. Okay, it only means something in the first round. It may not mean much after that. Yeah, McLovin.
And no one ever tells you when their dark horses don't come through. You never hear that. Ah, yeah, at Ohio.
What other poll question do you have besides
okay.
that?
This is kind of related in a weird way. If you were a player, would you rather win the NCAA tournament, have super glory right now, but not have a pro career? Okay. I'm going to applaud Duke's John Shire.
Okay.
Or have a long NBA career and not really have a successful college career. I was thinking like a James Harden. Well, I don't know. I can't.
I'd rather have a successful NBA career.
Did you just ask if we want to be James Harden or John Shire?
I need a better player. Okay.
Am I on drugs?
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one having that reaction because yeah, I was okay, like, okay. How do I soft sell this?
Yeah.
All right, Tony Snell. I'll give you Tony Snell.
How about a career backup who really barely plays but has a long NBA career, or Christian Laettner?
That's a much better question.
You know, like a career who's a career backup in the NBA?
Like a Plumlee?
Yes. Yeah, like a Plumlee. You get 10 years as a Plumlee.
Or
you get an awesome college career with nothing in the pros.
Yeah, but Laettner had like a 15-year NBA
right.
career.
How about like a Miles Simon from Arizona? Wasn't he an MVP of the Final Four and won a title?
Yeah.
I don't think he played much in the NBA, if at all.
Well, the fact that we don't know kind of tells you what his career was after Arizona. He might be a head coach one day in the NBA, by the way. You're going to have to workshop that one, McLovin.
Yeah. But by the way, Miles Simon is just as good as John Shire. I don't think that's an upgrade. I think they're about the same.
Yeah, but James Harden's going to make $500 million in his career. I don't think he goes, I didn't do very well at Arizona State.
Yeah, well, we bowed out against UTEP in the Sweet 16. He's going to regret that on his deathbed.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Ali Farouk Manesh or Kevin Durant, Dan. Yeah. You know, chop it up.
My original guy was Khalid El Amin versus LeBron.
Bryce Drew, Michael Jordan, your words.
Khalid El Amin. Yeah, I don't think that it'll take you. Maybe the audience can help you with that. That maybe you could come up with a better.
Like a 50-50. Like, because right now they're both like 90-10.
Yeah, that's not good.
I had another poll question option, but it's not really well thought out, believe it or not.
Oh, unlike the last one?
Yes. if you had to bet on one conference for this tournament, and this might be a question for the experts, but I hear a lot of people saying this is the Big Ten's year to finally win it.
Mm.
But I have a trouble, like, I have trouble picking Big Ten teams, but it seems like they're in everybody's Final Four.
Well, there's so many of them. I thought Michigan at the beginning of the year, Michigan was the best team I saw at the beginning of the year, but, you know, some injuries, not as formidable at the end of the year. Illinois is great. Ohio State's been great. Iowa has been very good as well. So, yeah, but these are top-end teams. It's not just they're in the tournament. You have, you know, people who think Ohio State could go to the Final Four. Illinois could go to the Final Four. I don't know about Iowa. Iowa's a good team, but I don't know if people had them, as many had them going as far as Ohio State and Illinois.
Yeah. But then the other one is the Big 12 has a lot of high-up teams, and usually
Baylor, Texas.
Often Big 12 disappoints in the tournament.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Well, you got Oklahoma State. You got Baylor, Texas. That's pretty formidable.
Yep, I got Baylor in the Final Four as well. Dark horse. This is going to be a long 3 weeks for
you,
Dan.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, but it's fun. It's a fun time because everybody's an expert. nobody knew anything prior to this past Sunday. Now everybody's, you know, I saw this. You know, that Ohio U team, I'm telling you. You're like, oh, really? How many games did you see? Oh, I didn't see any games. I just heard, you know, I heard, you know, one of the Seth Greenberg talk about Ohio U. UC Santa Barbara. You know, I heard Jay Billis talking about them. All right. We'll take a break. Peter King will join us. We'll get a update on Deshaun Watson. And we'll dive into a few other things with Pete, NFL-wise. Jim Brockmeyer, the legendary broadcaster, Sean Salisbury will stop by as well. Your phone calls, always welcome. 22 after the hour, this is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll settle on a poll question coming up. Once again, I'm not here to litigate Deshaun Watson. I'm not court TV. I want to look at this from the football standpoint. So I hope you understand. I'm not, you know, being insensitive to anybody here as much as my job. This is my field of expertise. I don't want to try to do something that is really coloring outside the lines. Peter King, NBC Sports, and his column, of course, Football Morning in America, joining us on the program. Pete, thanks for joining us. From a football standpoint, where do these allegations against Deshaun Watson impact his trade value?
Well, Dan, I think it makes it very difficult for any team, most likely between now and the draft. It's going to make it very difficult for any team to trade for him as long as these charges are in the air. If you are the Carolina Panthers, clearly interested in Deshaun Watson, and if you are the Miami Dolphins, who may be interested in Deshaun Watson, and the Jets, same thing. How do you make a trade for a guy who has numerous sexual assault charges? Allegations, and that's all they are now, allegations. I don't know how you make that trade now with the allegations in the air against Deshaun Watson.
Are the Texans more likely to want to deal him now with what's going on, or once this is resolved?
I think that is moot. If you don't have – I really don't see how a team can make a trade. I don't see a trade being made on this until – we have some knowledge of what exactly happened in these cases, in these alleged cases. So the Texans could want to trade him more today than they did a week ago, but I don't think it really matters unless you've got there. I mean, I suppose there could be a team out there whose owner and or general manager and or coach could say, we'll do this regardless of what the allegations are. I just can't believe in this day and time that anybody possibly could do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And if I'm negotiating or had been negotiating or trying to negotiate, if I'm coming back now, my offer is not going to be the same, I'm sure, for Deshaun Watson. But now the NFL is involved, Peter. To what degree, I don't know. But now, all of a sudden, if that's on, you know, the commissioner's desk, you know, that could take weeks. It could take months before they get around to this.
In the long run, and I'm not saying that we don't know any of the details, Dan. But if there were some offers to try to settle these cases, at this point right now, the one thing I am wondering is, was there some thought on the part of Deshaun Watson and his legal counsel to seriously consider trying to settle these cases beforehand. So basically this would go away.
Yeah.
And those are the things we simply don't know. Deshaun Watson has come out and very strongly said, I have never taken liberties, such liberties with women. And so we'll see what the truth is coming forward.
I was curious about this, mentioned it a couple of days ago with Russell Wilson and that offer that was made by the Chicago Bears. Seattle didn't counter the Bears' offer. Normally, if you go in and make a bid on a house, the owner, usually the seller, comes back and says, no, I want this. Why did Seattle even engage if they weren't even going to counter the Chicago Bears' offer?
Professional courtesy. That's my guess. Because, Dan, listen, suppose I said this 2 weeks ago in my column and got roundly, what an idiot you are for saying this. But the Chicago Bears never, ever, ever, ever had the ammunition to go get Russell Wilson. They just didn't. Everybody said, well, wait a second, three ones. Well, this year's one is number 20. And if Russell Wilson is going to the Chicago Bears, they probably are going to be just as good or better than they were in 2020. If that's the case, what are you trading? The 20th pick in the draft this year, the 25th pick in the draft next year, the 23rd pick in the draft 2 years from now? And in addition, John Schneider made a trade with the New York Jets almost a year ago or 8 months ago for Jamal Adams. And I firmly believe that one of the reasons that he paid a heavy price for Jamal Adams is that he knew that in 2021, the draft was going to be shrouded in mystery. All these players who didn't play in 2020 or, because they opted out or their teams didn't play much. Trey Lance played Division I AA and has one game in the last 400 days. So, or 430 days, something like that. So how do you figure out who these players are right now? And so I do think that John Schneider, why not listen? Maybe there's something that he totally does not expect. What if he gets offered three ones, three twos, three threes, or say, and Khalil Mack? Does he listen? I would say probably. But three ones that are all in the 20s for a franchise quarterback who says he's playing well into his 40s, it's just not in even remotely an equitable trade.
How do you think this plays out with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson?
I believe that at some point, barring some team coming to make an incredible offer, say the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, the third pick in the draft, and a couple more very high picks, then I think John Schneider would have to listen to it. Now, you'd also have to figure that he would have some regard for Tua Tagovailoa, and I don't know if he does or not. But assuming that he doesn't get traded, Pete Carroll will put on his don't worry, be happy coat and meet with Russell Wilson and probably sometime in May, and they'll all live happily ever after, even though they really won't. Dan, how did Pete Carroll get along with Marshawn Lynch for so long when Marshawn Lynch was making his life hell? How did he do that? He turns the other cheek. And he thinks to himself, as long as I don't pay attention to it, acknowledge it, all that stuff, it can't hurt me. Whether it did or not, I don't know. But in my opinion, Russell Wilson is not going to be incendiary when he gets inside the team this year. That's just not who he is.
He's Peter King. His must-read column every Monday morning is Football Morning in America. The Arizona Cardinals got a little older. Did they get better?
I think that's a fantastic question. you know, I just finished, I started writing a little bit of my column yesterday, and I just finished writing a section about the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, my thought about AJ Green is not that the Arizona Cardinals acquired a great wide receiver. From watching him play in recent years, they've acquired a guy who's been hurt a lot and been indifferent. And I mean, will he suddenly be reborn outside of what he may have considered a horrible place to play in Cincinnati? I don't know. We'll see. But I have not seen one bit of evidence that AJ Green can be great again. Maybe he can. And if he can, it sure isn't based on what we've seen the last two or three years, one of which he missed entirely with a knee injury. And so I don't know about that. Now, J.J. Watt, obviously, I think he definitely has some football left that could be very, very good, especially playing opposite or with Chandler Jones, because he never had a guy who was as good as Chandler Jones in Houston. Now, again, we all know how much time J.J. Watt has missed. And so, you know, we'll see. But right now, you know, I looked it up, Dan. J.J. Watt, Matt Prater, A.J. Green were in the 2013 Pro Bowl. And now they're going to be 32, 33, and 37 this year, Prater being 37. So, you know, they've won the famous free agency the Arizona Cardinals have. I don't know if they're significantly better. Now, Rodney Hudson, now that's a fantastic addition because he's still in his prime. And they'll need a couple more of those guys to be in theirs.
What do you think the Jets are going to do at number two?
Take Zach Wilson. I can't imagine. I didn't think they were going to trade for Deshaun Watson anyway. You know, those in the league who know Joe Douglas well know that he loves the draft. And he loves building through the draft. So I've always believed that they're going to sit there and take the next best quarterback after Trevor Lawrence. Now, I think it's Zach Wilson. Maybe he's in love with Justin Fields. I don't know. But I think they're going to take a quarterback at number two.
And Sam Darnold's future is where?
You know, I've got to think that he'll get traded for some pick between 40 and 75. You know, close to the draft, because, you know, look, Sam Darnold could well be a 1 year addition for some team. All along, I've been saying that the 49ers should trade the 43rd pick in the draft for him. And I still don't think it would be a bad idea. But the only problem with trading the 43rd pick in the draft is, in essence, you're trading for a guy who probably is going to be your backup quarterback the whole year and then is going to be a free agent, because clearly you aren't going to exercise his fifth-year option. So it's a tough thing to trade the 43rd pick for a one-year trial, even though Sam Darnold would make your team better for this particular year. And look, we still don't know absolutely with certainty that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the 49ers quarterback this year. We think he's going to be it, but we don't know that for sure.
Pete, have a great weekend. I looked at your bracket. Do you know what you're doing with your picks?
No, I don't have any idea. Dan, I don't watch college basketball. Todd Fritz, me being a good soldier, Todd Fritz asked me to send him a bracket. And so I did. And so I got Florida State going a long way, and I got the Bobcats winning a game, and blah, blah, blah.
You got Arkansas, Gonzaga. You got Illinois winning it all.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Is that possible?
Yes. Yeah.
It is? Well, I got to tell you, Pete Thamel told me who to pick.
Okay. Because
I texted him. He's the Yahoo Sports guy. He's a good friend of mine. And I said, who should I pick? And so he told me a couple of teams that he thought were good and told me some teams that weren't good. So I don't know. I filled it out.
All right. Good to talk to you as always, Pete. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Dan. You have a good one too.
That's Peter King, NBCSports.com columnist, Football Morning in America. Our play of the day is up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Yesufu line right. First is on the way. No good. Rebound Wichita State. 5 seconds. Gilbert up the floor. 3 seconds. Gilbert for the win. A three. Off the rim. A miss. And Drake celebrates. The Bulldogs do it. They win an NCAA tournament game for the first time in 50 years to the day.
Drake had lost two NCAA tournament games prior to that, both by exactly 2 points. They face USC tomorrow afternoon. That's courtesy of Westwood One Radio. And that's your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive, the supplement I take every day, every morning. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Help me get energized, stronger, leaner. And I'm able to tolerate the Danettes. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. McLovin is still workshopping a poll question. And I think the last time we talked about this, he was like, would you rather win the NCAA tournament and not have a pro career or have a long NBA career and never do much in college? And we decided that we needed to modify that a little bit. I said, you know, let's leave it up to the audience. They're usually pretty good. Would you rather be Tyler Hansbrough or Kyle Korver? Tyler Hansbrough, I think he's the leading scorer in the history of the ACC. Played in the NBA a little bit, but known for college. Kyle Korver's one of the great shooters of all time, but I don't think he's won anything. Anybody else in there?
Was Korver on that LeBron Cavs team? I wonder. He was floating right around there. I don't know if that makes a difference.
He might have. He was on the Cavs with LeBron.
But which go-round? I think it might have been the first one. Some other ones. You know, this one started a whole firestorm. Dante DiVincenzo versus Theo Ratliff. And we all of a sudden had 1,000 Bucks fans saying, wait, DiVincenzo started to play really well.
Theo Ratliff.
Someone says Wally Szczerbiak versus Wally Szczerbiak. I thought that was pretty good.
So Wally as a college player and Wally as a pro?
Yeah, because that's like the perfect, like he had a long journeyman career in the pros. Actually, was he any good? He was okay.
Yeah.
But he was really good at college.
Yeah, but we're taking the money out of this.
Okay.
Because if you put in the money, then all of a sudden this is a silly argument.
Seating like Jerry McNamara versus Jared Dudley.
Jared Dudley versus Jerry McNamara.
Ooh.
That's close. You know, Jerry had a front row seat. He was one of the leading shooters there with Syracuse when they won the title with Carmelo. Yeah, Paulie.
Here are some names of players who won the MOP, the most outstanding player of the tournament, but didn't go on to anything. Right. Ryan Arcidiacono of Villanova. You know, Luke Hancock of Louisville. Kyle Singler of Duke. He actually played a few years in the pros.
Yeah.
But there's different guys like, you know, Juan Dixon of Maryland. Everyone remembers him.
Yeah.
Played a few years in the pros.
Yeah. The MOP.
Oh, I love the MOP.
Yes, McLovin.
This one might be perfect. Jimmer Fredette or Patrick Patterson. I think Jimmer Fredette wins that poll. Patrick Patterson, former Kentucky big man.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
journeyman.
Yeah. I would take Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'd take him over Patrick.
You got enough money playing. Actually, though, Jimmer did look awfully lonely in that hotel room.
In China. He sent in his bracket. From China. Do you think that the government looked at his bracket when he was sending it here? I always wonder about that.
What is this Wichita State you're mentioning? A rogue state.
Here's Kyle Korver, 7 teams, and he was an all-star one time. He did win the NBA Sportsmanship Award back in 2015. That is not to be disregarded.
And Creighton retired his jersey. Does that mean anything?
Yeah, number 25, retired by Creighton. One of the great shooters of all time. Would you rather have Christian Laettner or Robert Horry? Laettner is on the short list of greatest college basketball players of all time. Horry has got 7 rings. Taking money out of this because Laettner did spend 15 years, I think, in the NBA. Yeah, Paul.
If I included money, right. I'm going to include money here on this one.
Well, then, well, I don't know what Ori made, but he still won seven rings.
He made good dough. How about this? Christian Laettner's career, college and pro, or Paul George's career? Paul George, nothing in college. Very good pro career. Probably going to the Hall of Fame. No titles and doesn't seem to really be close to a title right this. But he's also made about, he's going to make about $250 million over the course of his career.
Yeah.
But Christian Laettner has somewhat immortality. And he has about $50 million in the bank.
Yeah, but Paul George has the nickname Playoff P.
Okay. It's becoming a funny nickname.
Yeah, though. That's not a good nickname to have for him. Oh, you're Playoff P. Yes, McLovin.
Laettner has a dream team. Does that help him a little bit?
Yeah.
Although I don't know if he made an
Olympic gold medal, but I don't know. I think I could have gotten a gold medal if I was on that team. Just saying.
Yeah, I think everybody on that team got one.
Yeah. I might have gotten some run if, you know, when we played Namibia, I probably would have gotten a chance to play a little bit there.
Oh, that's pretty cool, though. Be on the dream team?
Yeah, it is.
That's probably underappreciated.
Yeah, Paul.
I still love the clip when all the translators are there and they're talking to Charles Barkley and the dream team. He goes, tell us what you know about the team you're facing with Angola. He goes, all I know about Angola is Angola's in trouble. That's all he said.
Yeah, I might have scored against Angola as well. Yes, McLovin.
Buddy Paul Heald or...
Paul George has a gold, by the way. 1-1 in Brazil.
Oh, okay.
Not a dream team gold, though.
It ain't the same.
No, it's not the same. There's only one gold medal that really matters with basketball, and that's that, you know, the dream team. And what that meant to the world, like we're finding out now what it meant. Over the last 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, we've found out just the impact, how big it was on what the dream team did, because we knew they were going to win the gold medal. But the reaction of all the countries, a lot of these countries got a whole lot better in basketball. It took, you know, over a decade or maybe even two decades, but you're seeing these players from these other countries, and they were impacted by what the dream team was doing. It was on their heroes or the players that they could never see in person. They got to see them in the Olympics. And I don't think you can underestimate what that meant to basketball around the world. All right. Phone calls coming up next hour. We'll check in with Sean Salisbury, sports talk show host in Houston, the legendary broadcaster Jim Brockmeyer. What's on the Traeger today? Italian beef, Seton?
Yeah. Right.
This is your menu?
Yep.
Italian beef on the Traeger.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.